Hey everyone, welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. Today is the second episode in season three, and we are here for Brain Injury Awareness Month to talk about how your voice can make a difference. This week, I went to Washington, D.C. to help advocate for brain injury, but you don't have to go to D.C. to do that. And so I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit of what we were asking for. And for those of you who are not in the United States, I hope that this is an encouragement to you of what we're trying to get accomplished here with our government in the U.S. And maybe you can take some tips and tricks from what we're doing here and take it to your own government. So I need to be aware we have international listeners here. So I don't want you to feel ostracized by this, but I do want you to know that there is hope and that this issue matters. It's a human issue, right? It's not a country issue. It's also a bipartisan issue. Both parties, Republicans and Democrats, care about this, as they should, because brain injury affects all people. It does not discriminate. Brain injury can happen anytime to anyone, and it's up to us to share our stories and use our voice to make a difference. Brain injuries are considered a significant public health issue, and actually, in the United States, are the leading cause of death and disability in both older adults and youth. But they're invisible, right? You can't see it. I'm going to talk about that a little more in a bit. But I just wanted to open up the podcast by urging you that this matters and you can make a difference more than you might realize. Your story does matter. You can use your voice, and it can be overwhelming to try and think about, oh my gosh, like I've never gotten in politics, or I don't know how to do this. Here's the thing. You really can. You can do it. And all you have to do is be honest, say, hey, this is a real issue. And they might listen. They probably will. A few highlights that you are going to hear in this episode have to do with not only the ask that we have for Congress for reauthorizing the TBI Act and supporting model systems funding, and to ask our members of Congress to join the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force. But the one I think I'm most excited about is that one of our asks is to require the Health and Human Services Secretary to examine the evidence base of brain injury as a chronic condition. Right now, most people view brain injury as a one-time event, something acute, and they don't really understand that a brain injury is the beginning of a persistent medical issue that can last years, decades, some people a lifetime. And so we are trying to get the CDC to recognize brain injury as a chronic condition, and this could actually change our lives, and it could change the treatment that we get. So I can't underestimate how important this is. Thank you guys for listening today. I know this is a little different than our normal podcast episodes with, you know, survivor stories and interviews with professionals. I promise we'll be back to that next week, but this brings hope in a different way. This brings hope because it is so important that we have access to care. And it is so important that our government and the general public is aware of the true realities of brain injury, because brain injury is so misunderstood. And I am filled with hope after being around so many other members of the brain injury community. I actually met a lot of people that are going to be great podcast guests coming up with their own incredible stories. And together we have an amazing collective voice. So I'm very encouraged by the future for brain injury survivors. It is bright. It is beautiful. We are going to make our voice heard, and I urge you to join us. So thank you for being here, and let's get started.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here, we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, And that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. Today we are continuing our conversations for Brain Injury Awareness Month. You might be able to hear in my voice that I am pretty tired today, but this episode was very important and I wanted to get it out as soon as possible. Originally, I had a different interview that was coming out today, but we're going to hold off on that until next week so I can tell you guys about my trip to Washington, D.C. this week in participation in Brain Injury Awareness Day on Capitol Hill. So before we get into the details about the Traumatic Brain Injury Act and the reauthorization, and before I share with you some more of those nitty-gritty of why this is important, I want to talk a little bit about my brain injury journey and why we should care about the TBI Act. So, you know, you guys know that I am a brain injury survivor. I'm going to try and share this in the most succinct way possible with how tired that I am today. But one of the most important things we have to remember about brain injury is that you cannot see it on the outside. And so many people make judgments on brain injury survivors based on the fact that they could maybe hold themselves together for the 5-minute conversation that they had with you, or they make judgments based on the fact that if they run into you in public, that you're actually out in public. They don't understand that inside of your head, you might be dealing with headaches and having to carefully try and think of your words, or the fatigue, that you're tired, that the noise is bothering you, that you're overwhelmed. And the general public does not understand brain injuries at all. And the biggest factor is that they're invisible. And if you're listening to this and you've had a brain injury, you're probably like, yep, that is important. And I also always want to point out, I don't want our friends that have brain injuries that also have physical disabilities as a result of their accident to feel left out of that. We actually did an episode last season with my friend Lisa, who is both a brain injury survivor and a wheelchair user and has a physical disability as well. She actually sustained her TBI playing wheelchair basketball. She's great. You'll have to go back and listen to her story. But one of the things that is important to note is that she feels like her brain injury part is invisible because people focus so much on the physical disability that they discount her brain injury symptoms. And so if you see someone in if you see someone in a wheelchair, you don't necessarily think brain injury. And so while your physical injuries could be a result of the brain injury, the general public is very, very unaware of brain injuries because, again, your brain is not visible. So I hope I said that right. I hope that it makes sense. Maybe this was a bad idea to try and do this episode this week, but my other interview is also not edited yet because of my trip this week and my overestimating my ability to handle everything. So this is what we're going to get. So please bear with me as you're listening to this. What I'm trying to say is brain injury is invisible and you cannot see it on the outside. And that's why awareness is so important. My traumatic brain injury was in 2007, my first one. And there was so much less awareness and so much less resources out there when I first got injured. Thankfully today, if somebody had the same injury that I had, I would hope, and it's a very good chance that they would get much better treatment than I did initially. Some of you may know that I've had a lot of multiple brain injuries over the years, and some of those were a result of undiagnosed vestibular dysfunction. So I kept hitting my head over and over again because I kept falling and I lacked spatial awareness. So, you know, I think the statistic is like, if you've had one brain injury, you're like three times more likely to get a second. And then after that, you're seven times more likely to get a third. And it continues. The more brain injuries you have, the more likely you are to get more because your function is impaired. And, it's hard. It's hard to live with brain injuries. So, I am very passionate, clearly because I have this podcast, but also I'm just very passionate about the fact that brain injuries need to be recognized on a wider scale. And one of the things, if you're in the United States, that you can do is you can make a difference by using your voice. I cannot overestimate how important this is. So I'm going to go into some of the details here on what we did in DC and how you can get involved. Now, to start off, if you go to biausa.org/get-involved, or you just Google Brain Injury Association of America or BIA USA, Get Involved Letter Writing Campaign, they have all of these resources available for you. So if you're a visual person and you need to see it written out, go on their website and read these legislative issue briefs, which I'm going to summarize for us on the podcast, but you can check them out yourself on their website. And then they also have a sample letter, a letter writing template for you to send to your member of Congress in your district. Here's the thing. As a constituent, which means a person who lives in the district represented by your Congress member, you have every right to schedule a meeting with somebody from the office of the member of Congress. So if you want to go in and talk to them, it's really hard for them to say no in person. I'm just going to say, you can go to your state, you can schedule a meeting in their office in your district, or you can write them a letter and follow up with them. And there are three important asks that we are asking our members of Congress to do. It's also going to the Senate. And I will say that Senator Casey in Pennsylvania, which is actually where I'm from, is introducing the TBI Act bill to the Senate in June. I believe it's in June. And so it needs to be passed by the Congress and the Senate. And so we need our members of Congress to push this through. We also need our senators to approve it as well. But right now, our focus is on our representatives in the House in Congress. And so there are three acts. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm showing you this little card. If you are listening, I'm going to describe it to you. Brain Injury Awareness Day 2024 was an event in DC this week put on by three organizations, the biggest brain injury organizations in the US, the Brain Injury Association of America, the National Association of State Head Injury Administrators, and the United States Brain Injury Alliance. Now, our three biggest asks for members of Congress, and you can get what they call on that Get Involved website on the brain, biausa.org. They call this the palm card. That's what I'm reading off of here, which is just a tiny little card that they gave us with info. So the three things. Number one, reauthorize and fully fund the TBI Act. Number two, support TBI model systems funding. Number three, join the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force. Now, that last one is probably the simplest one that you could ask your member of Congress to do. Say, hey, there is a Congressional Brain Injury Task Force, and there's a list of names of all of the representatives that have chosen to join this, and you need to ask your member of Congress to join it. And you can share with them some of your story, because your voice is what makes a difference, and they need to know that this is a real issue that affects people, and that affects people, real people, that are in their district. And so if you're able to tell your member of Congress, hey, I had a brain injury, or my loved one had a brain injury, or my best friend had a brain injury, and this stuff really makes a difference, will you please join the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force? I guarantee that makes a difference. You only need one person. I went with a group from Pennsylvania, but I was the only person from my district, from my Congress representative, my congressperson. And I met with somebody from her office. And because of that, I followed up with an email after our meeting, and she responded, her legislative director, and said she's joining the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force and will support this act. And it was just me. I was the only constituent that went. I mean, I did have help with my friends that were in the meeting, so we got to talk to her face to face. But I don't want you to feel like I'm just one person. Can I make a difference? Absolutely, you can. So there are some suggested improvements to the TBI Act. Now, I know I'm going a little fast here. Let me just back up and explain. When I first started going to DC, like years ago, I think my first time I went down there was like 2016. All this stuff went over my head. I was just like, I just like shared a little of my brain injury story and let everyone else do the talking regarding the legislation, because I did not understand it. So in this episode, I'm going to try and just explain it to you guys, because yeah, you can read the papers, but I think that hopefully I can help explain it. So let's just back up. I keep mentioning the TBI Act, or the Traumatic Brain Injury Act. This is a piece of legislation that is up for reauthorization this year. So it is the Administration for Community Living administers this funding. So it basically provides funding to help people with brain injuries across the U.S. It's used for the TBI State Partnership Grant Program, which helps states increase access to services and supports for individuals with TBI throughout their lifespan. It is also used for the Protection and Advocacy PNA TBA Grant Program, which helps states provide advocacy services for people with brain injury. Now, here's something very important. Currently, 31 states receive TBI state grants. There are 50 total states, so you might live in a state that doesn't even get this. So if you live in one of those states that does not currently get funding, if you contact your Congress member and get them to join this task force, you might be able to make a difference in your home state on if you're part of the, 31, oh my gosh, my math is not mathing. Does that mean 19? I think 19 don't have it. Yes, so 30, 20 plus 20 is 50. Okay. So if you're one of the 19 states that does not receive these state grants, then you can make a difference to try and make that happen. But also, the grants that are currently out are severely underfunded. And that is the wording that BIA USA has on their Reauthorize the TBI Act legislative issue brief that you can read on their website. I'm kind of looking at that as my notes here. And they use the term severely underfunded. So one thing that I'm very excited about is that they are going to be introducing brain injury as a chronic condition. And they are trying to get the Health and Human Services Secretary to examine the evidence base of brain injury as a chronic condition. Because right now, brain injury is viewed by healthcare systems and the public as a one-time event rather than the beginning of what can be persistent medical, physical, cognitive, and behavioral effects. The idea that brain injury can permanently change a person, their capabilities, their personality, their ability to work and socialize as they once did, is not something that most people can understand. So if we get brain injury recognized as a chronic condition rather than just an acute condition, it would mean more services and supports across the lifespan of individuals with brain injury. It would open new avenues to treatment and research, and it would go a long way toward educating the public and correcting misrepresentations about a condition that impacts millions of America. So we are asking our members of Congress to get behind the reauthorization of the TBI Act and making some changes to how brain injury is presented. One of the things is the chronic, and then the other side is that currently the eligibility criteria for these programs only include traumatic brain injury. And I mean, we're thankful that exists, but Representative Bill Pascrell is the one of the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force leaders. And he spoke with us on Wednesday, and he talked about decades ago, he helped to introduce the TBI Act to get it started. And a lot of it had to do with veterans and things like that, which is great. However, right now, hypoxic and other acquired brain injuries are not currently included. So what they want to do is expand and, in my opinion, correct the way brain injury is worded in this TBI Act. So they really want other types of acquired brain injuries to be eligible, because currently only a traumatic injury is eligible. Hopefully that is making sense to you guys. So yeah, it's so important to add all types of brain injuries to be included, because as you may very well know, brain injury is so much more than just traumatic. There are people who experience brain injury from infections and hydrocephalus or oxygen deprivation. Also, a survival of an overdose can cause a brain injury, and often does. And there are also strokes and aneurysms and brain tumors and surgeries and all sorts of other things that cause brain injuries besides car accidents and TBIs and concussions. So we want to get everyone help. We want to get everyone covered. And so there's some other like little details if you want to read them for yourselves. But I think those are kind of like the main things. Something else that I learned, which I did not know before going and meeting with our Congress representatives, is that it's not super hard, supposedly, to get a TBI Act, to get an act reauthorized. What is hard is getting changes made within the act. So we need to write to our Congress members and say, hey, this is not just about the act being reauthorized, because the way that it was put by one of our senators, a representative who spoke with our senator's staff person who spoke with us, he explained that a lot of congressmen are willing to check off the box and reauthorize something, but in order to go in and make changes and add new things to it, that's a bit of a more difficult ask. And so we really need people to step up and contact their members of Congress. So, all right, the other side is we want full funding to the TBI model systems of care. So you might be like, I don't even know what the TBI model systems are. So let me help kind of explain this to you. The model systems are a collection of 16 research centers providing a multidisciplinary continuum of care that includes emergency and acute medical rehabilitation and post-acute services to improve recovery for people with TBI. So these are centers that provide direct services, but they also build the national capacity for high-quality treatment and research for people with TBI, their families, and their communities. And so these model systems are actually the only source of long-term data on what happens to people with brain injuries across the lifespan. And these findings are critical to identifying and designing future improvements on brain injury treatment. So these TBI model systems are a critical source of evidence-based brain injury medicine, and they often serve as a launching pad for future researchers. So the TBI model systems receive grants that are administered by a lot of different departments and things like that. So we are asking Congress to increase funding for the model systems over the next 5 years. So the TBI Act lasts 5 years total. And my computer went to sleep while I was trying to record this. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. And I'm too tired to try and edit this, so I'm doing it on one take if possible. Again, sorry for stumbling over my words. I really hope this is all making sense. But here's the thing. We need more funding for these model systems. And so I hope that this has helped to urge you to know how important this is. If you are not in the United States, you can use some of this stuff to come to your equivalency of government and say, hey, this is what America is doing. We should get on this. So I don't want anyone to feel excluded, but, you know, here's the thing. So I'm going to read a little bit from the National, well, this is their other paper, which is, it's called Appropriations, but basically they have this thing, Understanding the Brain Injury Challenge. So brain injuries, remember, are considered a significant public health issue in the United States and the leading cause of death and disability in both older adults and youth. Now, for it to be the leading cause of death and disability, it needs to be funded. That is so important. 2.5 million brain injuries occur each year. 5.3 million Americans live with lifelong disability as a result of brain injury. But this is also likely an underestimation of the true prevalence. So there's just a lot of statistics and stuff that you can also read on there. And this is really important. And when I was younger, I don't think that I had the understanding or capacity to know just how important this is. So I hope this has helped. If you guys have questions, you can email me. I'm sorry if there was a lot of information here, but I just want you to know that there's hope and that, like, our government should care about this. And the Brain Injury Association of America and the National Association of State Head Injury Administrators and the United States Brain Injury Alliance are working hard to make our voices heard. We had over 240 people from over 30 states represented on Capitol Hill this week. But there are a lot more people than that that could not come. And so for you, now is the time. If you can get a letter written, if you need help, send me an email, Christabel@hopeafterheadinjury.com. My information is on the website. And I hope that you'll consider getting involved. And so the last piece of this episode is I did a short video interview about our experience in DC while I was there with some of my other friends from Pennsylvania. So I'm going to play that clip now. It includes Melissa Carmen, who is a brain injury survivor. It includes Tanya Nagel, who is a brain injury caregiver. Her husband has a long-term TBI. And Kevin Bingham, who is a board member for the Brain Injury Association of America, and talking about our experience meeting in DC. So take a listen to this, and then I'll be back to close this out. Hey, everyone. I'm here at Capitol Hill. We're actually in the Capitol building right now for Brain Injury Awareness Advocacy Day. And it's the end of the day and we are tired. But some of my friends here that have been fellow advocates today agreed to do this interview for the podcast. So if you guys would each introduce yourself and just like a tiny bit of what connects you to brain injury. So we'll just go.
My name is Melissa Carmen and I am from Lancaster County. I am a 30-year survivor, traumatic brain injury survivor, and I work in the traumatic brain injury community.
Okay. Kevin Bingham, actually Shrewsbury, since we're visiting Pennsylvania members. My background is I'm from an insurance company that started a website called Workers' Comp Connect, and we eventually met a number of the brain organizations, and I ended up on the Brain Injury Association board.
My name is Tanya Nagel. My husband is a TBI survivor for 21 years, and I am blessed to be his caregiver. I am also an advocate for him and blessed to be a caregiver in real life as well for Home Instead. So I'm just blessed to be here and be an advocate to help get these bills passed.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so I'm going to have shared on the podcast by the time this part airs a little bit about the TBI Act and what we were trying to do here. And so you guys were in different meetings than I was. So you don't have to share specific names or specific things, but just generally meeting with members of Senate and Congress. What was the experience like for you? And why is it important that we do that? I want to try and get our listeners to know they can write letters to their congressmen and Senate, those in the U.S., of course, to be able to advocate for legislation. So why is this important? Why is it important that we do this? Anyone want to go?
Yeah, I think what I found interesting being with so many survivors today is the appreciation that some of the members got with regards to a brain injury isn't just it happens once and then you can forget about it. So it's something that's with you for your life. So you have to kind of start focusing on solutions that actually go with you over a lifetime. And I'm not sure everybody thinks of it that way. So chronic versus just acute. And also the amount of funding that's needed to make that happen. We just don't have that today.
Yeah, that's good. Anyone want to add?
I think I got that as well. I mean, we need the funding to educate people because people have no idea. You look like you're normal when you have a brain injury. Some people do, and it's a forgotten injury, whether it's traumatic or non-traumatic. And the funding is not there, especially for like EMTs and so forth, and just to educate and to bring people that awareness. That's what we need it for. And it was so nice and refreshing. Some of the aides that we met with today for the representatives actually shared their testimony with us that they are survivors, like from a concussion and so forth. And it was such a blessing to actually get to meet in person the congressman. Took his time and met with us. It was amazing and such a blessing just to be here to advocate. Hopefully next time my husband will be able to come.
Yeah, that's great. And I really think that it's so important to remember that like none of us are politicians or are in politics in any other way than this. I mean, I can't speak for you, but I know that, yeah. Like this is not like, so many people get intimidated or they ask me like, how are you doing this? Or why are you doing this? But it's like, we're just normal people that have experienced brain injury that want to make a difference for others. And so you don't have to come down to DC to do that. You can do it from your home. You can write a letter or you can go to your local office. Every constituent has the right to set up a meeting with your member of Congress, one of their staff members, and you can go in and I'm going to put a link to the BIA USA website here with some additional information about the TBI Act reauthorization that's happening. And right now is a great time to reach out to your person, and you can actually make a huge difference by asking them to join the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force or to get behind the reauthorization of the TBI Act. So anybody have any last thoughts to add?
No. Well, thank you for having us
yeah.
on.
Here. Yeah.
Thank you for letting us be a voice.
I pulled them aside. I was like, you want to be on the podcast?
The thing that stood out to me, we shared an example with the last person we met with. It was the ability to expand what defines TBI under the act, because the example we all shared was if someone falls at a pool and they hit their head, they're going to be covered. But if they fall in the pool and they suffer deprivation of oxygen, they wouldn't be covered. Right. Mm. So trying to figure out how we expand this so everybody gets the same coverage. If your kid falls and gets hurt one way or another, it should be the same type of solution, would be my view. But right. I found that interesting today.
That the definition of brain injury actually needs to be corrected in the legislation to accurately represent the population. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and Kevin, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier. I'm so tired. He's a member of the Brain Injury Association of America board.
Yes, that's
so,
correct.
So is there anything that you want to share that the board is working on currently?
No, I think whether it's trying to focus on prevention, it's awareness, it's the certification of brain injury specialists. I feel lucky to be on the board because there's so many good things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And right now we're kind of redoing our whole strategic plan. So I can't wait. I don't know if it's out yet, but when it comes out, a lot of great work went on there and a lot of really sharp people on the board that I get to work with. So I just think everybody's so passionate about it. Being down here for the day is a lot of fun, and being with these folks, hearing all the stories, it's been wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. And thanks for inspiring our listeners/viewers here. So bye.
So we always end the episodes with words of hope, and this one is no different. Today, my word of hope to you is that there is hope. There is research being done. You are not alone. We can get through this together. And there is so much that you can do with your voice. Don't underestimate the power of sharing your story. Something I forgot to mention earlier is that the Brain Injury Association of America is also having a social media campaign called My Brain Injury Journey, where you can share some of your journey. And because they want people to understand brain injury is a chronic condition. And so don't underestimate the power of your voice and your story, and you can make a difference. Again, reach out to me anytime. Be encouraged that research is being done, that this stuff's being talked about. And as the TBI Act comes up for reauthorization, make sure you write your member of Congress and get them to join the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force. Don't take no for an answer, basically. It's a bipartisan an issue, and so everyone should care about this. So thank you guys for listening, and I will see you guys next week, a little more back to our regularly scheduled program here on Hope Survives Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned, and would love for you to consider leaving us a rating or a review. Check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. We have support groups. We have Zoom groups. There's always something going on. So I hope to meet you on there. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.